We've come to that point in the season after Pentecost where straightforward gospel lessons are just not enough. We are past Jesus' words of, "Do not be afraid, you are of more value than many sparrows." We are past, "Whoever gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones in the name of a disciple, truly I tell you, none of these will lose their reward." We're past burdens, and I will give you rest. And parables are tricky little lessons from Jesus, because if we listen to them seriously, we see they have a holy life of their own. As for today, I guess we could, if we wanted to, say that it's pretty straightforward. Jesus does spell it out for us. But for me, something doesn't quite fit about this. Jesus isn't known for handing us the answers, right? We normally have to work for them. Because of this, I don't really think it was Jesus that explained the parable. I think it was probably the writer of the oldest gospel, which is Mark, or it came from an unknown source that first told today's story. But maybe it really did come from Jesus. But when I read him explaining it to us, I can't help but feel like I'm reading some theologian's commentary. Jesus tells us to listen. And to fully listen requires us to process many layers and not just what's on the surface. We have to begin to believe we know. When we begin to believe we know the true meaning of the parable, what happens is we stop exploring it. It stops speaking to us. We no longer listen. Today's parable is familiar to many of us, so let's start with the explanation that we are given in the text. First, we are called to listen. And Jesus says, "When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what is sown in the heart." This is what was sown on the path. Well, really, we could probably just stop right there, because, you know, when do we really understand? When do we really understand fully? The kingdom of heaven. No, it's so vast. So vast. The word of the kingdom, as we say, is alive. It grows with us. We might experience an understanding today, but that could easily change tomorrow. Jesus continues by saying, "As for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet such a person has no root, but endures only for a while. And when trouble or persecution arises on account of the word, that person immediately falls away." I've experienced that. I mean, I've attended spiritual retreats, which are incredible high mountaintop experiences. I used to be a sponsor for a middle school spiritual retreat, weekend spiritual retreats called New Beginnings. And I would attend those twice a year. And this is before I was a priest, and really it became my church. I would go to these retreats and they would be wonderful. And then I would just kind of dwindle down again until it was time for the retreat again and then back up to the mountain again. But I wasn't really engaged in it as a life in the word of the kingdom. I read an article this week, and I'd read some in the past as well, but this article talked about people leaving the church, and one of the things that it talked about was when some who leave the church who were there for the wrong person. They weren't there for the priest, But they weren't there for Jesus. They were there for the priest or the pastor. And they put all their stuff in on the pastor, and it's all about the pastor. The pastor's so good. Did you hear that sermon? It's so wonderful. Now, I'm not saying knocking pastors, but pastors come and go. Jesus stays here. Come, the community, it's your community. And these people, they come and they like the pastor, and all of a sudden something happens and they realize that the priest is human. And the pedestal that they put the priest on collapsed, and they just can't deal with it. Can't believe that pastor's as sinful as the rest of us, you know, just couldn't deal with it. Don't want to walk with the pastor. They wanted to lift up the pastor, and so then they leave. Jesus says, as for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the lure of wealth choke the word, and it yields nothing. Whew, living the gospel, it's not easy. And Jesus is talking about those who don't really come to worship what they're supposed to worship. They really worship stuff. They worship things from status to their car to their whatever it is. They're not worshiping what it is that they've come to worship. It's when things become more important than people, they get the word choked out. Jesus says, but as for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and yields in one case 100-fold, in another 60, and in another 30. But this is what we're aiming for, right? We're aiming to hear the word in such a way that it bears fruit. But how do we do that? Well, we have to become the sower to bear fruit. Now, the farmer, and back then, they would have known where to sow the seed. Seed was expensive. Good seed was really expensive because it didn't have all the weed stuff in it as well. They would have guarded it. It would not have ended up on that path or in those thorns. They would have made sure that they got every bit of yield out of those seeds that they could. Yet, today Jesus talks about that seed just being scattered out. I mean, so if we're supposed to sow, we have to know what is good soil. In our book study right now, we're reading the Book of Joy, and some of you are in the study, and for those of you who aren't, feel free to buy the book because it is wonderful. It is a book, one of the books that Jeff Paul, when he was here, that he had been reading, and he commented about it as well, about how wonderful it was. The Book of Joy, written by the Dalai Lama and Archbishop Desmond Tutu, and along with the writer itself, Douglas Abrams. So, good soil. Who's good soil? I want to share a little bit of this with you. Desmond Tutu says, it does help quite a lot to see yourself as part of a greater whole. Once again, the path of joy was connection, and the path of sorrow was separation. When we see others as separate, they become a threat. When we see others as part of us, as connected, as interdependent, then there is no challenge we cannot face together. When I see someone, the Dalai Lama said, returning to what was becoming an important theme, I'll always try to relate to the person on the basic human level. On that level, I know that just like me, he or she wishes to find happiness, to have fewer problems and less difficulty in their life. Whether I am speaking with one person or whether I am giving a talk to a larger group of people, I always see myself first and foremost as just another fellow human. That way, there is, in fact, no need for introduction. If, on the other hand, I relate to others from a perspective of myself as someone different, a Buddhist, Tibetan, and so on. We could say as a Christian, as a Nevadan. I mean, we could put all kinds of categories in there, couldn't we? If I see that as a Buddhist or a Tibetan and so on, I will then create walls to keep me apart from others. And if I relate to others thinking that I am the Dalai Lama, I will create the basis for my own separation and loneliness. After all, there's only one Dalai Lama in the entire world. In contrast, if I see myself primarily in the terms of myself as fellow human, I will then have more than 7 billion people who I can feel deep connection with. And this is wonderful, isn't it? What do you need to fear or worry about when you have 7 billion other people who are with you? Where's the good soil? The 7 billion people who are with you. No boundaries. We are to be like Jesus, sowers of the seeds of the kingdom of God. We are to sow with abandonment. We are to sow in all kinds of places. We are not to worry about how much grows up in each place we sow, but the spreading of the gospel is what is essential. In our workplaces, in our homes, in our families, you and I are to bear the fruit of the gospel. Jesus is very clear that we are to be the church, the body of Christ, a place of belonging in the family of God. We are to care for young and old, rich and poor, the powerless and the powerful. We are to bring all to a closer knowledge of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ. We are to live on the edge and proclaim the good news in such a way that those around us find the transformation they are seeking. We are to listen, and then we are to do. Though there are times, however, that all I can do is listen. I have to sit with the Gospels and with the spiritual truth of what God might want me to go and do. Sometimes, having to just sit and listen is the hardest part, and at times it can be painful. Because life is not easy, it's just difficult to live within gospel. It is times like this that I have to remember the words I hear on Ash Wednesday, that I am dust, and to dust I shall return. Though I am dust, though I am dirt, though I am soil, I am holy dirt formed by God's loving hands. At times I am holy dirt being trampled on the path. At times I am holy dirt between the rocks. And at times I am holy dirt stuck among the thorns. There are even times when I am holy, rich soil producing fruit and grain 30, 60, or 100-fold. It's not our job to decide what type of dirt we are today, but that we are all holy soil formed by God's hands, sacred soil waiting in the hope and listening for the nourishment given us so that we may live as the Word of God, bearing fruit for all people. Amen.